you, both of you. Isn't it amazing that God's message to us is never heard only in one way? From the time we entered the building and greeted one another, from the songs that we sang, from the Advent devotion to Ed's prayer, the message that God has laid on my heart has already been spoken. And all I'm going to do is just repeat it. I will start with a little introduction that kind of started this whole thing, got me thinking about Advent. I've been reading Advent devotions from about October, November, just to prepare my heart a little. And in the midst of all of that, you know, most of you know that Chris and I are grandparents to three grandbabies. So the Lord shows me things, reveals things to me when I just watch how they behave, how they interact with me. And one such way is Chris and I had the privilege this year of more than ever having our little five-year-old grandson have sleepovers. And he's at the age where discovery is such, and that's not him, but that is an image. He doesn't sometimes sit still long enough for us to get those kind of pictures. Most of them are kind of blurry, and I kind of correct them with the new iPhones that we have. But we thought, hey, he is able to read a little bit now and he can look at pictures. Why don't we make a treasure hunt for him? So I did. I put together clues for Gunnar for the treasure hunt. And how I did that, I wanted him to be successful in finding the treasure. It's not like the pirate movies where, you know, it's so hard to find the treasure, you have to almost kill someone else to find the treasure. No, no, this was going to be a path for Gunnar to enjoy. I wanted him to have fun, and I wanted him to actually find the treasure. And so how we did that then, we took images from the internet of things in our home that he was really familiar with. One was our bedroom. Why he likes it? Because Oma has probably 15 pillows on my bed. Poor Mr. Chris struggles with that. But Gunner thinks it's a great place to hide and have pillow fights, and so we had a clue there. The bathroom, I buy him special soap so that he can play in the sink and make little messes with bubbles and such. And so on it went, and then he found the treasure. We wanted him to find it. Unlike this little boy gazing cherub, like a little cherub into the sky, he did find chocolate coins and he got into them right away, and there was chocolate on his mouth and foil everywhere. But he found the treasure and he was so excited. But the way to the treasure was also something that was exciting for him. And how did we know that? Because right after he consumed half of the gold coins, he said to me, "Oma, I'm going to make you a treasure hunt." And I said, "Well, how are you going to do that?" "Well, and where are we going to go? Are we going to have it in my house or are we going to have it at your house?" And he said to me, "No, I'm going to take you to the ice cream store. And then I'm going to take you to the playground. And then I'm going to take you to the dollar store. We're going to find many good things there." So this little kid knows who to take along on the journey to find the treasure. And hunting treasure is fun. Which brings me to our story today. In the Christmas message in Matthew, there's hidden a little gem of a story that we have to infer lots from, but it's the Gospel of Matthew 2, and we're going to read about the wise men. And the wise men, what we know typically is found on Christmas cards or songs we sing about the three kings, and you know what? Those things are probably not accurate. There are probably, we don't know how many wise men they were. Brian is indicating 10. He knows more. He studied deeper than probably I even did for this. But the point is they went on a treasure hunt. And so let's explore that a little bit and see. First of all, what the Lord showed me to say, and I'm not even sure why I'm sharing this point, but these were men of intellect. Most of the Bible, when we read it and we read who the people it was read to, was not common, but it wasn't really so much the scholars that understood. But in this story, There were men of great intellect and science and learning who went on a journey. And we also think that they were depicted at the stable. That was not correct. When we read the gospel account in Matthew, it talks about they found him in a home. He was a child. We were with our twins the other day who were 2 years old, and probably Jesus was around 2 years old because we know King Herod killed children two and under. So the wise men came to visit a two-year-old. I will just leave it at that. But that's so remarkable that these men of intellect knew that going in. So some historians tell us that the Magi were so powerful that no Persian were ever able to become king except under two conditions. He had to master the scientific and religious discipline of the Magi, and he had to be approved of and crowned by them. I don't know. We can say that they probably originated all the way back in Ur of the Chaldees, that they were part of a nomadic people. They could have first appeared in Babylonian times. The book of Daniel tells us of such people. He was someone who was like that. Nevertheless, what is true is that they were men of science, men of learning. And let's start reading in Matthew 2, verse 1 and 2. And I will read from the slide when it appears. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, so after Jesus was born, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." From this passage, we can see that they were men who studied the scriptures. They would have been very familiar with Micah 2, and that's going to be further that King Herod's attendants quoted to him, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Or Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament of his power." What's really important about this thing is the word saw. We have seen. That word is horab, and it speaks to perceiving with the spiritual mind, to experience something. So these men of science were on a journey, but in their knowing, in their searching, they knew, they had that spiritual discernment that they were looking for the Messiah, the King of Kings. I thought that was so amazing. They didn't come just with an inquisitive mind. I want to look. They came with that heart full of seeking and searching. We know. And their goal of the journey is laid out here too. They wanted to worship the King. Christ, who was the fulfillment of prophecy, the light that came into the world to drive out the darkness of sin and death, a star, right? A star, the light. They saw that. That was the light to drive out darkness of sin and death, the promised Messiah. That was, to me, so remarkable, that word. They saw, they perceived. There was that real inner assurance and knowing who they were seeking. In Matthew 2, verses 3 to 6, we see that this news is not hidden from anyone. God doesn't hide his truth. He doesn't hide himself to people. King Herod heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When the wise men, we'll say later saw that, they rejoiced, but King Herod was troubled. It bothered him. It doesn't say why, but we can probably guess, because he would be disposed. He didn't understand. He didn't have that same understanding of who Jesus was, this baby. And God allowed him to know. He asked his wise men, and they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, it's written in the prophets." So it's not like anybody was excluded from knowing. We know that the shepherds saw angels. And King Herod and the scribes, he had all the scriptures available to him. He had everything available to him. But he did not look at this the same way that the wise men did. Could he have? Yes. God allows everyone to hear the message because the scripture says one day every knee shall bow. And God doesn't, what is so important that there is a journey that God leads us on, that we can encounter Jesus. God has revealed himself to us from the very beginning in Genesis, right to Revelation. He wants to meet with us on a personal level. And this is what we see in the wise men's journey. They study the heavens. So God showed them a star. It didn't say anywhere else. Anybody else saw the star, but God showed this group of men the star, and they chose to believe, to open their hearts, to delve into scriptures, and then they followed the star. So in Matthew 7 and 8, it talks a little bit about worship. They said they wanted to worship, and he says, I want to worship. I want us to see what worship means. True worship is an attitude and an act. He was going to do the act. He said, I'm going to bow down. But he didn't have the attitude. And the wise men did. And the attitude is something that the Holy Spirit will give us. He'll soften our hearts so we can have that attitude. It's another gift of grace that God gives us. True worship takes place in the heart or spirit of the worshiper. And the worship part in truth, God said, those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. And that truth connects our hearts. The spirits with the truth about God and his work of redemption as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. These wise men saw a 2-year-old, but they knew he was God incarnate. On their journey, they didn't think, oh, this is just a 2-year-old. No, they believed that God became fully human. And when they saw him, it was probably a 2-year-old child. The shepherd saw a baby. And sometimes I find in the story, it would have been easier to maybe see the wonder of that fresh new birth. Oh, this is a little tiny baby. But when Jesus was older, like a 2-year-old, it's a little harder maybe. But these men of intellect bowed their knees to a little 2-year-old because they knew he was God incarnate. In Matthew 2:9-11, we see another real great little gem. When they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I did a little bit of a word study on that. And it says that they had an awareness of God's grace and favor on their lives. We, like Carolyn said, have experienced Jesus now, but they were looking forward to that. They were studying the scriptures. And when we have that experience, it is something, like Carolyn mentioned, that it just fills us so much that we can't explain it. I had my own little encounter like that when I was, I think, 5 years old. I was walking home with mom and dad, and they weren't even aware of anything happening to me. But in a moment of time, I felt such a presence of the Lord fall on me. I've never forgotten it. And you know what? That's what they experienced, because that fills your heart with such awe and wonder and joy. And I want you to know today that God has a journey for all of us to come to that place. It's for all of us, whether we are high school graduates like myself, 1 year of college, whether we haven't gone to school, whether we're people of great intellect or not, God will hand fashion your journey for you to a place where you can have an encounter with him personally, because he's mapped it out for you. And you know what? These men were able to be led. Are we people that will allow God's leading in our lives? Sometimes, you know, we don't know where we should go, and the wise men were told to turn around and make a detour. And sometimes God asks us to do that too. On the journey, are you he leads us to a place, and then he might say to us, could you make a detour? I'd like you to make a detour. Are we people who will be able to be led? Because if we do, we know that that joy is ours and that peace is ours. The response is left open to us. And then the Magi opened up their treasures. And open means they gave this freely. I don't know. It says store treasures. Did they save up for years? Did they have an overflow of abundance? But the word open really spoke to me. They opened up their treasures to the Lord. But not before they bended their knee and said, you are Lord. You are King of Kings. This Christmas season, the Lord has given Chris and I so many of our desires of our heart in terms of having fun with family and friends and having the kids all together. And it's been such a time that we have been more busy than any other time. And as I was preparing this sermon, I said to the Lord, I can't talk to the people about worship if I'm not doing that. But you know I'm so busy. I'm helping here and I'm helping there. And then the Lord opened up moments for me walking, not quite the ironing board, but very similar ways where I thought, this is the moment. This is the moment where I can just focus on the Lord and worship him. That was the good things were a distraction. And also other things have been real deep prayer needs that we have. And that's almost like a worry that drives that out. And you think, oh, does God know about this? I've prayed already so many times. But in this story again and again, I saw that God has a path and he's leading. And that path always leads to Jesus if we want to see it. And then when we bow our knee, when we will be filled with such exceeding great joy. And so the moments, God gives them to us. Sometimes we don't see them. Sometimes we think they're hidden, like I need to iron. Or I need to have a treasure hunt with my grandson. Well, the Lord opened that place up for me as well. And here we are gathered this morning. And I thought, how shall we end this very simple message? I want you to know that God has a leading plan for you. He will bring you into a place where you can worship him and where you can encounter him. He doesn't randomly take us. There's a purposeful leading. And would you recognize that? God is leading you to a place where you can encounter him and worship him. Is God asking you to open up a treasure? Have you had a gift on your heart to give him? Do you need to give of yourself? Do you need to open yourself up fully to the Lord, to his leading? Do you just need time to worship? Because the Lord really said to me, we're asking people to worship, but people are busy. So in the closing moments of this service, we have allowed time so we can do that. So you can give to the Lord, so you can know that he is here, so you can bow your knee, you can worship, you can come for prayer. The altars will be open, but know that if today is not the day, God will lead you. This could be the day. I'm praying it is the day, but I know that God is leading you somewhere. As the star for the wise men, God has something for you. And he will not make that hard for you to find. Like our little treasure hunt with Gunnar, we wanted him to find the treasure. Jesus wants you to find him, to encounter his presence during this busy season. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and just sing a song. If you would like prayer, we're going to have this side of the altar for the prayer. If you want to just come and worship, come at during this side. Worship in the seats. After a few moments, I'm going to come up and read another scripture. But right now, let's worship. Let's adore the King of Kings. Father God, I thank you so much that you lead us, that there is a path that you have carved out for us to encounter you, Jesus. God, I don't know people's hearts. I know my own heart. I know how I had to make a detour. But Father, we want to give you our all. Father, I pray that you would just give people grace to see what you're telling him. What you're telling them today, Father, fill their hearts with such exceeding joy like you did for the wise man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.